Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. Hey,
he's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
What is up, Steelers and NFL fans alike? This is the Black and Gold NFL Recap. My name is Matt Searles. I am joined, as always, by Fred and Sabo. What's going on, Fred?
Hey, Matt. I'll tell you, just as we get another week into the season, the NFL, I can say, like Alice in Wonderland, curiouser and curiouser, Alice. And I'm not talking about just the way the Steelers play, but in every game, it just gets more and more twisted. As I said many times, the NFL is the best reality show on television. What about you, Sable?
Let's see. Steelers lose, Ben gets hurt, and I'm doing a new thing. I'm only accepting the wins, the Steeler wins. I'm not accepting the losses this year. Sounds like a presidential candidate. And you know what? I'm not going to do names and everything, but we are called, you know, when he brought up about the hombres in Mexico, we are called the hombres de acero. That's men of steel in Spanish.
Is that what we're called?
Yep.
Oh, I think I've seen that because they played in Mexico City. You're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, the T-shirt.
I like it.
I like it. All right, guys, so for those of you who don't know or are new to the podcast, what we like to do here is we, of course, talk Steelers. We get you all caught up on all the NFL news from around the league. We recap last week's games, and we take a look into the most interesting games to us and hopefully to all y'all also that are coming up this week, implications, you know, what it means for the playoff picture, who you should root for if you're a Steelers fan, who we think is going to win, all that fun stuff. So, of course, to start off with, we got to get it out of the way, so I'm going to start off quickly. Let's recap this Steelers-Dolphins game just a little bit. It's been talked about plenty and enough and way too much because no one wants to relive that. I got Game Pass from NFL.com, and I like to rewatch every game. I did not sit through this one a second time. It was too much for me. Steelers, of course, getting crushed by the Dolphins. Ben getting hurt. Going to be out for 2 to 6 weeks, it looks like. Had surgery. It was a letdown for me, not just because of the loss, but because of what it could mean for our season moving forward. Fred, what were your thoughts on the game, man?
Well, I won't share with you my thoughts during the game because this is a G-rated show, but I did go through and rewatch the game, and as much as I didn't want to, I took the approach as I put in my film room that maybe if I watch it and could see what they did wrong, that would be a slightly better alternative to the what the hell happened narrative going around in my brain. So at least that way I figured if you see what they did wrong, you understand it, and maybe you see that it's fixable and you get some therapeutic value out of that. So I did. And just on defense, you saw just a ton of mistakes in technique and execution. And a lot of people, a lot of the zealous lovable fans of BTS here were calling for Butler's job and their scheme sucks and this and that. And I do agree that Butler should blitz more like he did against Kansas City, but when you look at it, they just made mistakes. Guys were out of position. That's, to me, the good part is that they can fix those. They can play better. But it's just one of those things that snowballed. The defense, I honestly think early on, when if you go back and look at it, they hung in there. Ben threw a pick. They held him to a field goal. They blocked a field goal. Then they forced a miss of a field goal. They hung in the game as poorly as they were playing. And in the second half, they got a couple times where they stopped them, and the offense went three and out and three and out and didn't do anything at all. So as bad as the defense looked, giving up 204 yards to Jay Ajayi makes you look bad. As bad as they looked, I think overall the offense was worse because finally, and Tomlin said this and Butler said, I agree, finally the defense just worn out. The Dolphins were on the field for over 36 minutes. And in that heat, if you saw a couple of the clips of Timmons losing his lunch in between plays, the defense just wore out. I mean, so they didn't play well, but I think, honestly, the offense played worse. That's a bad – both interceptions, if you watch them, man, they were horrible. Horrible decisions, horrible throws by Ben. So hopefully we got that – we got another one of our stinkers out of the way. It just seems like every year recently we lose to a supposedly bad team and Ben gets hurt. But – still a long way to go. What do you think, Sabo?
Bell ran, it's unbelievable, 12, 8, and 6 yards. Comes up 3rd and 1. Haley gets cute. Landry Jones drops back and looks like he was throwing a hand grenade. Like he was going to get close to him and everything like this. It was the first game without Craig Hayward, and that really made a difference. He's your best pass rusher, your best run stopper. He's, you know, leader of your team and everything like that on the defense. I think they really missed him a lot. But you know who has me going nuts now is Mitchell. I mean, Mitchell took those two, Gay too, dropping that interception and everything might have made a difference. But Mitchell had two penalties, and then on the play where Sean Day, who was deep, oh, no, had to be Burns, was playing deep on the left side. Artie Burns doesn't even trust Mike Mitchell now because two guys flash deep and everything. Sean Davis has to take Artie Burns has to take the outside guy. He looked inside, thinking Mitchell's not going to get over there. And that one split second that he said to himself, he's not going to get over. You got to trust your – I don't think he trusts. We're talking about a rookie that doesn't trust the safety like Mike Mitchell, who's been playing a long time. I know Mitchell has the speed and everything, straight line, but I don't think his instincts are straight line speed that fast. What Burns does, he turns to the middle guy that's running down, you know, but he's going deep too. And at one split second, he gets beat going down and everything. I'm ready to give up on him. I'd go with Sean Davis, put Dangerfield in, put Golden in. Mitchell, he just does some of the stupidest things. He just doesn't play smart. I think he really had something to do with this game that we don't even see and everything of them. What do you think, Hurricane?
Interesting. And Fred, you're the film breakdown guy, and you just said you rewatched this game and broke it down a little bit. Do you see anything like that? I don't know if on that particular play. I know on that play that they was talking about. But I think they hit Parker for that long near touchdown.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell if that was on Burns or if, like Sava said, that he just didn't trust Mitchell. So,
I remember
to support that.
Yeah, and actually, Nick actually showed a specific play, I believe, and Tomlin talked about it as well. And Sava was right in that Artie, but we don't know what was going through Artie's head, as far as whether he trusted Mitchell or not. Mitchell was getting over there. There was two receivers wide to that side, and they did a switch, as Thomas said, a switch release. So the guy that was outside released and went towards the inside. Artie went with him. He had to stay outside because he's playing deep third outside. When he went to the guy in the more towards the middle, Mitchell was starting to get over there. So you could say, you could speculate if Artie didn't trust him. The fact is, Artie has to go with the outside guy. So I put that on him. As far as the penalties, he got to the one I remember. To me, there's a difference. The one, he's running with the guy and hitting him as he's going. He's making contact with him as they're running towards the out of bounds. So he contacted him before they went out of bounds. He might have gave him a little extra shove. I do agree he needs to be smarter, but that one was questionable. They threw like three penalties early on, one on the Dolphins, two on the Steelers. So I think Hockley wanted to flex his biceps and get on camera and throw. But I agree at times Mitchell can be, but that one was ticky. And again, that one on Burns, to me, that's on Burns. He instantly, if he looked back and waited and saw, but when the outside guy released inside, he went with him. He has, like he was playing man or something, he has to play deep third outside. He should have stayed outside. Now, most of the time, I agree with you, Sable. I'm going to disagree with you here on Mitchell. He's a quarterback back there in the defense. He knows the plays. He's a tough guy. He gets hurt, he comes back in. And like I said, he is fast. He has the range. He, you know, I think that he hasn't gotten beat deep this year. I'll disagree with you on this one. We don't always have to agree. I'll disagree.
He thought that Mitchell is not going to get over there. So that split second of indecision, I know he should have taken his men, but he's saying there's no way Mitchell's getting over there and everything. He should have just taken his man, and if Mitchell gets beat, Mitchell gets beat. So for that 1 second, you make that one step, and you look inside and say, Mike Mitchell's not getting over. That's how you get beat and everything. He should have just said, I think he's trying to do too much. Everyone on the team's trying to do too much, make the perfect play and everything. Just take your man. If you're Mitchell gets beat for the touchdown, then Mitchell gets beat. But that way, you could have had two guys beating, you know, two wide receivers running free.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. I looked at the play and I went, oh.
Yeah. To jump back in quickly, Matt, and Sable, you echo exactly what Keith Butler said today in his coordinator's corner, that guys are trying to do too much. You're trying to make the big play. If you just follow what your assignment is, the plays will come to you. And they'll happen within the construct of what's called. But guys are trying to do too much. So, yeah, that's exactly what he said, exactly what you just said. Just play what you're supposed to play. If everybody
Smart guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
And for those of you that don't know, or for those of you who do, on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, Fred here, he's 58 still. He's that guy who you'll see do some great film breakdowns. He knows his X and O's. He rewatches these games, and he can really break it down. So if anyone's got questions about, you know, who was where, what happened on this play, he's probably the guy to go to on this show. For anyone that has any of those questions or any other Steelers or NFL questions, feel free to call in anytime. Talk about really whatever you want, anything NFL related. The number is 347-850-8581. We'll be doing this for about another hour if you want to get on air. And good point also, Sabo, when you were talking about this is the first game where, you know, without Cameron Hayward and really seeing the impact that he had. And I guess we're going to see next game, because Hayward won't be back, how much of that was not having Hayward and how much of that was them just being, you know, physically exhausted. Because, I mean, how many people were out in and out with cramps from the heat, and, you know, Timmons losing his lunch. I think Timmons, Hargrave, and Vince Williams, just off the top of my head, were all out at some point, you know, from cramps and everything due to the heat. So it'll be interesting to see back at home if they, you know, have the same ineffective rush defense. But something to keep an eye on moving forward. All right, guys, so I think that game has been covered. I think everyone's sick of it. We want to forget about it moving forward. But before we keep going forward and on to the news and next week, other thoughts on week, what was that, week six? Yeah, week six. Anything else that jumped out at you? Start with you, Fred.
Yeah, I guess to me, and I think it was a game that you had picked, the Falcons. I'd say Falcons and Seahawks. I think you had picked the Falcons. Post-game,
yep.
What jumped out at me, and especially they were down early, 17-3 in Seattle, came back, didn't do what the Falcons have done every other year, just hold tents, came back, and actually you can make the case that had a good chance to win the game if it wasn't for a missed obvious pass interference call. So that was my big thing. The Falcons showed me a lot more that they're probably for real. That's my biggest takeaway. What about you, Sable?
I think everyone in our division lost last week. that sort of helped us and everything like that. That was the biggest thing I took away and everything.
Yeah, that definitely helped us. Steelers still, I mean, after that brutal loss, we're sitting first place in the division. So, like I was saying before, I'm not panicked about that loss. I wasn't panicked just because it was a loss on the record. I'm a little worried. I would say more than a little worried, because we got the Patriots coming up. I don't think any of us are taking the Steelers in that one. They got the bye. If Ben's not back, we got the Ravens, who we just – it doesn't matter who's in there for us or for them. It's a toss-up whenever. So we could be coming out, and we can go from 4-1 to 4-4. It could happen real quickly. So that's just where I'm at moving forward. But luckily right now we are still first place in the division. I don't know if y'all saw that overtime game with the Texans and the Colts, but that right there – I think it jumped out at me the most, along with head coach of the Colts, Chuck Pagano's comment after the game saying that, you know, we're all going to think he's crazy, but that was an encouraging performance for him by the Colts. I don't know if that right there, if I'm a GM, if I'm in that front office, he's out. You're not going to have a head coach that they give up a multi-score lead in the fourth quarter to Brock Osweiler, And say that he's encouraged by that moving forward. That just doesn't happen. That's big time to me. Yep.
Man, if I could jump in, I will say this. I agree with Chuck Pagano. I think he's crazy.
I agree with you on that one. Yeah, I mean, what is going on with the Colts? Oh, you got to feel bad for Andrew Luck. People talking about feeling bad for Phillip Rivers. Because he's, you know, trapped. Andrew Luck, he's in his prime right now. He just has nothing. That Colts team, it looks bad. Very, very, very bad.
You mentioned something about Phillip Rivers. Do you think Phillip Rivers is Hall of Famer?
That's hard. Honestly, no. If I'm a Chargers fan, you know, I would say yes. But I think a Hall of Fame quarterback needs to win some playoff games, regardless in a 10-year stretch. Yeah, I agree. I'm not even saying Super Bowl. I'm just saying win some playoff games. If you're a Hall of Fame quarterback, you can take your team to the playoffs and win a couple of playoff games. So for me, I'm saying no. What are you, Fred?
Yeah, that's. I don't a no brainer. I think he's right on the it's tough. And like you said, I think they really, I can't remember the exact year, the 2006 or something, where they were like 14-2 or 13-3. They had a great record, and should have beat the Patriots and blew that one in the playoff. They blew their chance when they had a good team. So Rivers probably could have had one. They had a really good team with Tomlin, but Damon Thomas, and they had a good defense, and they blew it. But I'm on the fence. I don't know. I don't know that what else he needs to do. He's been a very good quarterback for a long time, but I'm not. I wouldn't say for sure.
I don't think so.
That's what I think. As some people say, he's in the Hall of very, very good. But for me, if it's not a sure thing, I mean, Hall of Famers should be, you know, they're in there. They're the best of the best of the best. If it's, you know, and I don't know, he's really good, then to me, you're not in there. That's just not what the Hall of Fame is. But that's just my personal opinion. I know people are going to agree and disagree with me there. Two other things that stuck out with me before we move on to the news and next week. Colin Kaepernick, not the solution there for the 49ers. Man, again, blown out 45-16 by the Buffalo Bills. I know the Bills are hot and they're on a roll, but Kaepernick just didn't look much better than Gabbert to me, at least. I don't know if either of you guys saw much of that game. I don't know if you did, Fred, but Kaepernick, he had one decent, and people are going to make a big deal because it was a long touchdown pass, but he still underthrew his receiver and he had to come back for it. But if you can make a pick, would you stick with Kaepernick?
I didn't see the game, so I'm just going from what and Chip Kelly said that, you know, he would start him again. And I'm just kind of going by what I said when we brought this up last week, that I would, only for this reason. Like I said last week, Blaine Gabbert is what Blaine Gabbert is. His ceiling is what it is. He's not very good. I think Kaepernick potentially, I think he saw his best football when he had Harbaugh there as his coach and got the most out of it. But I think you need to see, he only played one game. He hasn't played in a long time. Maybe he's rusty. I think you need to see what he potentially could bring you this year. I don't know if he is or not. I know what Gabbert's bringing in if I'm the coach. Maybe Kaepernick could bring something. So you have one bad game, you know, he stunk. The whole team stunk. I would play him. At least there's a chance. And then you'll know. Because if you don't play him now, what are you going to do at the end of the year? What are you going to do with him? At least you'll know. That'd be my thoughts. What about you, Sable?
I say you put him in, just like we were talking last week. If you already put him in, you've been playing him, you got to go with him. I mean, if you take him out now, this musical chair quarterback thing is not going to work. I mean, one time he was in the Super Bowl with them, you know, maybe he has that spark again. We were talking about last week, what's the locker room like there and everything. Kelly thinks he's the guru. I don't know. Give him another week, and then he's going to go back to Gabbert. It's a bad situation out there and everything like that. So we give him another shot this everything.
I think because it's a bad situation, and we're not going to spend much more time on this, but just because it's a bad situation, that's why I wouldn't put him out there. This is a guy who, just from his mechanics, looks like he has forgotten how to play the quarterback position. He's just not throwing it the same. He's throwing off his back foot. He just doesn't look comfortable. And the way to get a guy back in his good habits is not to put him out there, you know, with a bad O-line and a bad team. I think they rushed him out there, and I think because of that, Kaepernick is going to be what he is now. So that's just me. Last thing, most surprising win outside of the Dolphins, which I will never mention again, was the Redskins over the Eagles. I absolutely could not believe that one. And I don't think that's on Wentz. Wentz looked good again to me. But, man, I did not see that going. After a rough start, Kirk Cousins has his team. They're first place in their division, aren't they? I mean, they're on a roll. They're looking good. Yeah, I saw that coming out of nowhere. So that's it for me on those. Moving on, unless you guys want to touch on anything else to the NFL news, y'all ready to move on?
Move on.
All right. Moving on, and just before I do that, anyone that wants to call in, feel free, 347-850-8581. Talk Steelers. Don't talk Dolphins. I mean, you can if you want to, but I'm begging you, just for me. just for me, don't make me relive that. Talk anything football, talk upcoming games, anything at all, go ahead and call in. But anyways, getting to the news. Where to start? Let's start with some injuries. Eddie Lacy, Packers running back, is now placed on IR. Looks like he's going to be out for the season after he had an ankle injury. Earlier in the week, it looked like he was just going to be, you know, maybe out this week, next maybe also. But now he's going to have surgery on the ankle that's ending his season. So in response, Packers make a move and they trade for Nile Davis from the Chiefs. He was really, you know, their Chiefs' fourth running back, really only used on kick returns. He was behind, you know, Charles and West and Ware. So good move for the Chiefs, potentially good move for the Packers. They only gave up a late-round conditional late-round pick, conditional on how Ware performed, it looks like. Also, the Dolphins safety, Rashad Jones, who got injured in the Steelers game, he potentially is their best player, in my opinion. He's out for the season now with a torn rotator cuff. They moved him to IR. Couple
that
other
was
things.
One week too late. I wish he would have happened a week before.
Right, yeah. I mean, you wish it didn't happen at all, but if it's going to happen, why does it have to be after us?
He did intercept Ben, by the way. Yeah.
He's a good player. I really think he's their best player. So we'll see what happens with them moving forward. Also, Geno Smith will make his first start of the season this week for the Jets. He filled in for Fitzpatrick after Fitzy got benched in that Cardinals blowout. So we'll see how he performs. They're playing the Ravens, I believe. Is that right, Freddie? Ravens?
Mm-hmm. They are playing the Ravens.
Playing the Ravens. So if there's ever a time for Geno Smith to, you know, pull some magic out, now is the time. I don't see it happening at all, but, you know, we'll see. So there's something to keep an eye on. Hardcore got a root for Geno Smith here and give that Ravens a loss. We'll see what happens. A couple other things. Saints defensive tackle. Is Smith on short leash? Not. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that.
Okay.
I know Todd Bowles, the coach for the Jets, he initially in the weeks.
Yep.
Do I think? I don't know. I think he's going to play this full week regardless. I think he's going to play this full game. Bowles is already you know, flip-flopping all over. He said earlier that Fitzpatrick was going to start this game, and just because he was benched doesn't mean that, you know, that's permanent. And then, you know, a couple days later he said Fitzpatrick is benched and Smith is the starter. So then if you bench Smith halfway through a game, that's, you know, that's just too much. You got to pick a quarterback and stick with it, I think, like you guys were saying, with Kaepernick and Gabbert. So we'll see what happens, though. Rookie defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins, they get him back off of IR. He's practicing this week. Bills get their first-round pick, Shaq Lawson, back. He said he's back to 100%. He practiced fully with the team for the first time. So the Bills get, you know, elite college pass rusher to add to their team and a defense, which is already on a roll here. Also something to keep an eye on, Joe Flacco missed his second straight practice with a shoulder injury. I've heard his he's expected to start, that's what I've heard, but, you know, something to keep an eye on, because that was just some Twitter stuff. So we'll see what happens moving forward. And last thing we're going to get into, I know y'all are going to want to talk about this one, so save it for last. Vontaze Burfict fund $75,000 for his plays versus the Patriots. Yeah, you've got some feelings about this one, Sabre. I'm sure you do too. Did y'all see the plays against the Patriots, and what did you think?
I did, and I guess there was two plays that were brought up, but I guess the one which was a low hit, if you will. He was back in pass coverage, and Martellus Bennett, the tight end for the Patriots, not even targeted, although the perfect Bengals lawyers are saying that, you know, Brady did pump fake in his direction, which caused perfect to die. But Pac-Man Jones was standing right there no ball, and dove at the back of his leg. Supposedly, the NFL said there was the fine wasn't for that. It was only for his play at the end of the game. There was like a minute left, and the Patriots scored the touchdown to put it definitely out of reach. LeGarrette Blount dove in from like a yard, and there's a pile. The touchdown's already scored, and Burfict starts making his way back into the pile. And you cannot see for sure. There's just too many bodies in the way, but it certainly makes a motion like he may have stomped, as it was called. And then Blount gets up, obviously TO'd at that, and shoves Burfict and gets a penalty. Burfict gets something because a guy that just scored a touchdown is not going to get up all mad and do something. So a lot of play, a couple of Steeler players weighed in on this. D'Angelo Williams, I liked his take, saying, you know, the NFL supposedly cares about player safety, but they have a guy that is known and putting guys in harm's way, and he doesn't get suspended. And he even went out to kind of show support for Martavis Bryant. He said, one of our players, he didn't name him, he goes, well, one of our guys, he smokes some weed, and he's suspended for a year. And a guy that's trying to hurt people doesn't even get a game. So when you look at it from that standpoint, I think the NFL has their priorities definitely screwed up. And I don't know. Maybe the only reason I could see, if I'm trying to see what makes sense, why they only fined him, which is a lot. I mean, because the fines increase, as we remember with Harrison, they increase, and this is his ninth fine since he's been in the league. No angel for sure. Maybe the NFL thought there wasn't quite enough to show for sure. Maybe that's the only reason it makes sense to me. I think, I mean, he's shown time and time again. Like we were talking about Mike Mitchell before, making some of these dumb plays, and the Bengal fans will say, well, he took the shot on Eifert and gave him a concussion. But that, to me, even if you want to say it's borderline a dirty play, which I don't think it is, give him the benefit of the doubt, he's diving down towards the guy catching the ball and goes low, making a football play. Even in the game Sunday, he's hitting the guy as he's going out of bounds and making a football play. Burfict does stuff that doesn't even have anything to do with football. Stomping on a guy's thing, hitting a guy when the ball's not even coming to him. So he's just another level of cheap and dirty. He doesn't – he did this in college. His coach at Arizona State, Dennis Erickson, sat him down because he couldn't learn. He hasn't shown that he's learned. I don't think he will, and he's going to hurt somebody. What do you think, Sable?
So we're talking about three plays in one game. He hits Bennett, Gronkowski, and Blount at the end. And he said he went up to Bennett and Gronkowski, and I think he said in some low-rated apology he gave to them, he's sorry he took out his knee or whatever he said and everything. That's why the Bengals are the Bungles. Marvin Lewis, I think, this week really didn't say that he did anything wrong that I can remember and everything. And I think as long as Marvin Lewis is there, Burfict, he's going to do anything he wants. I think some of the Steeler players get away, you know, but they're nothing like Burfict and everything like that. What do you think, Matt?
This one just gets me. It just gets me angry. I mean, this guy to me, he has no business being in the league. This is someone who has hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines, and these aren't, you know, he wore cleats with someone's face on them. He was celebrating. This is hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of fines for trying to injure players. I mean, going back to, you know, 2013, I've got the list in front of me. It says striking Packers Ryan Taylor in the groin, hit on defensive player, spearing New York player, ankle twisting, three separate unsportsmanlike incidents. I mean, it's the list just goes on and on and on. This is someone who just, they don't get it. This is going back to his collegiate career, did the same thing there. He just, I don't know if it's that he doesn't care or that this is his actual goal. I just I really don't get it. But to me, this guy has zero business being in this league. There's no place for that. And as a player, I don't know because I'm not an NFL player, obviously. Fred, would you be cautious? Would you even be, scared playing a team knowing that this guy is out there? Let's call it what it is. He's headhunting. He's headhunting before the play, and then after the play, he's still going after. He's twisting ankles in piles. I mean, if you're a player, do you go out there and you got one eye on this guy the whole time?
Yeah, I don't know how you can play that way. But I will say this: you don't for some of the guys around the league that might take some hits and maybe get some fines. I don't really hear too much about other players talk about him, but Perfect, two Steelers, D'Angelo Williams and Ramon Foster, came out and talked about him. Now Ramon Foster, and he's the players for the Steelers player rep, but it was D'Angelo that talked about it in that vein, saying, you know, he even said about, because D'Angelo started on, the NFL, the owners, the commissioner, not caring about player safety, and we're currently, looking, we're not really on the same page with them. He said, but this is another player. You're supposed to be in it together. And he said, you should look out for each other. He goes, players get hurt playing football. It's a dangerous sport. But you're still supposed to look out for each other. So that's the player mentality that, to me, I'm sensing that they can't believe that this guy is doing this and he doesn't belong in the league. That's what I'm hearing from them. But as far as your point of, how do you play with one eye? And I don't know if that's part, who knows? Maybe that's part speculation or part of Perfect's thing. Because if you have to think about that, then obviously you're not fully concentrating on what you're supposed to do. I don't know if that's part of his tactic as well. It could be, other than just trying to injure people, I don't know, but yeah, he, like I said, he takes it to a different level. So he doesn't belong. They're not gonna suspend him. They fine him. They're appealing that. It'll get little, but I just, it's not if the next time happens, it's when he got suspended the first three games. He's back a few games and he's already doing it. So. It's just when it's going to happen again. And I'll say this, when you said about, say what you're talking about, Marvin Lewis and them, this, and it blows my mind to think of this. Team captains. One of the team captains for the Bengals is Pac-Man Jones.
Mm-hmm.
How can that guy be a captain? He's a thug. He took Amari Cooper's helmet off last year and tried to beat it into the ground. That's the guy that's supposed to set an example for the rest of your players? That just shows me the type of team they have. If that guy is supposed to be one of your leaders, so you're right. It's the whole culture there. It's the whole atmosphere. It's Marvin Lewis. It's the players they choose to follow. And that's why they
are the Bengals and will be as long as that stays. So that's all I got to say about that, Forrest.
When he was coming out, I had him senior playing, first round pick. He dropped so much, excuse me. Marvin Lewis gave him a break, and if someone would do something like that for me, I would try to pay him back in all the right ways, not in all the wrong ways. So Marvin Lewis to me has to be not saying anything to him or not getting through to him.
Yeah.
I would do anything if a guy gave me a chance to play in the NFL when all the other teams said, you're undraftable. I mean, we're going to, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's different for me. What do you think, Matt?
We won't spend too much time on this one. But, I'm sure as you guys can tell, this one just gets me. I mean, if you're Le'Veon Bell and you're running down the sideline and Perfect is catching up to you and he's going to tackle you from behind, you tell me he doesn't run out of bounds and, not care about those extra yards. It's just, if you're Ben Roethlisberger and he's coming to you on a blitz, you don't just dive to the ground and forget about extending the play or shaking that off, because you're worried this guy is trying to injure you and knock you out of the game, potentially the season, potentially your career, and that's his MO, that's his goal. And this is being allowed to happen in the league. He's suspended for the first three games of the season, and what, within two, three games of being back, he's doing this again. It's just got to stop. I think this is as much on the league at this point as it is on the Bengals for allowing this to continue. There can't be excuses for this. It's just not what I found.
Run towards Munchak and Joey Porter side.
I would run towards Debo and Joey Porter and then hide behind those guys.
Yep.
Now, here's what the NFL could do, I think, because I don't know if we talked about it last week or not, but there's been reports recently that the ratings for the NFL are down this year, and they're trying to figure out, you know, why, and they call it different reasons. So, obviously, if the ratings are down, that could mean that revenue is going to be down because they won't get as much money for itself. But here's how they could get rid of two problems in one shot. You can raise a lot of revenue, and you can get rid of one of them. Take Vontaze Burfict and Ndamukong Suh and have a steel cage match, and the loser gets kicked out of the league. They can raise money, get kicked out of the league. The loser is out.
The loser.
You raise a lot of money, and you get rid of one of the thugs, which leads me to, I don't know, Matt, if you were going to talk about the Suh
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Go right ahead. Yeah, because I don't know if that was released today that the Steelers were, notifying the league they wanted them to look into. Towards the end of last week's game, it was about 20 seconds left. Ndamukong Suh rushing towards Ben and past the Castro, and as he gets close, clearly sticks out. It's not a normal football move, not a normal action. Sticks out his right leg and kicks Ben in the shin, which is how he got his right leg injured. Remember, the left one was injured earlier. And the Steelers, obviously, they look to him for a lot of reasons. And they saw that, and they sent him to the league to look at. So I can't recall if Sue's done anything in recent times. But, of course, we know he stomped on a guy's head. He got suspended. He stomped on Aaron Rodgers' leg, although he backed up into it. Yeah, right. So he falls right into the same line as Burfict. We kind of forgot about him because Burfict took the, you know, maybe the front page more recently. But another one. That's not a football play. There's only one intention when you're doing that. That's to hurt somebody. So Suh belongs in the same thing. So, again, have a pay-per-view steel cage match. Whoever is the champ gets to stay in the league, and the loser goes. I don't know what you think, Sable.
I'd pick Suh on that one to win that.
Yeah.
You know. Some of this stuff that goes on, I want to use the word, I didn't see that coming and everything, but you're talking about two players that, you know, we had to play both of them this year, but it would be such a privilege for me to play in the NFL, and I don't, it's different, you know, because I wasn't that good, you know, to play, even get a shot at playing in the NFL and everything. I mean, I wish the Steelers, you know, would have given me a shot. I knew a kid that went into the was going to try out for the Steelers and everything. He was a quarterback from Grove City and everything, and had all these records, and they didn't even give him a shot and everything like that. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's we won't spend much more time on this, but that's, yeah, it's definitely not a part of the game that adds anything good to the game, not anything anyone wants to see. That's what I'm saying. It takes away from the game. But anyways, we got to move on. Get to some Steelers news.
Have a sec to try this on the phone number, see if you guys can hear it? Okay?
Go for it.
4-7.
Did you hear that?
What was that? The mail theory, reading the phone number?
That's it. Oh, you're the man. You nailed it.
I like it. I like it.
Okay.
That shows you how much time I spend on my phone. Way too much of a millennial right here. But yeah, that's the phone number anyone wants to call in, 347-850-8581. All right, moving on. Some Steelers news, Pittsburgh Steelers news. Of course, the biggest thing coming out is that Big Ben injury. Everyone wants to know the exact timetable, hoping for coming right after that bye. That well-timed bye, really, could have been, this week instead. That would have been a little bit nicer. Big Ben suffering a torn meniscus against the Dolphins. He had just a cleanup of the knee instead of that full repair that Adrian Peterson had. So, quicker return. What I'm hearing and what I guess everyone's saying, what I was reading, is that he could be out anywhere from 2 weeks to 6 weeks. Now, we all know how wrong we were on that hematoma thing. So we're going to stay well away from predictions on this one, which is far, harder to predict. but I know we're all hoping for he'll be back week two against the Ravens. But, we're also all hoping that we beat the Patriots this week. It's not about what we hope. It's about what happens. You guys have any thoughts on this injury? This could just be, devastating moving forward. And it seems like every year, and do you put this on Mike Tomlin and company? Do you put this on Colbert? Because I know we don't want to admit it, but Ben misses a game, whether we like it or not, due to suspension, due to injury, due to something, the majority of his career, every season, the majority of his career, he misses some time. And is it on Tomlin and company for not having a good backup behind them, for having one of the worst backups in the league, when you know that they're going to have to play a meaningful game and meaningful snaps? Is it on them for that?
Okay, well, a couple things. First, on Ben's injury, I'll stay away from making any predictions of playing doctor or anything like that. I will say this, though. Whatever the timetable is, say, even best case scenario, he misses a couple weeks. You basically have to count a miss of another week, because his first game back from injury usually sucks. So he does. So
that's true.
Say he comes back against the Ravens. Can we have a pretend game in the bye week that Ben pretends to play?
Right.
And then when he comes back against the Ravens, it'll be like game two. That just seems to be his history. Last year was the same thing. He played against the Bengals in his first game back, and he played awful. So just from that standpoint, as far as Landry Jones, I'm probably one of the, I'm not saying Landry Jones is that good. And we haven't seen a lot of him in the regular season. Preseason, we've seen quite a bit. I think Tomlin said Jones holds the record for most preseason passes attempted last year. He played five games. He played them all. But I'll say this. When people say, well, you're right, Ben has that history, and we should have a backup ready. But my counter to that is there are half the teams in the league that can't even find a suitable starter. Finding a backup that you can trust is, in some ways, it's honestly luck. Because Dak Prescott's doing great so far for the Cowboys, and people say, oh, well, we could have drafted. We could have. Did anybody know that he was going to be that good? We would have had to take on one of our first four picks. We could have. But Dallas honestly got lucky. They didn't know Romo was going to get hurt. And if Romo didn't get hurt, we wouldn't even know who Dak Prescott, what he's doing right now. So I'll just say, if you look at the rest of the backups in the league, yes, Garoppolo looked good in his first two games, but there aren't a lot. Like I said, half the starters in the league shouldn't be starting. The Jets have four quarterbacks. I don't know if any of them are any good. Although, did you see what Landry Jones said in the team meeting yesterday? he kind of pulled an Aaron Rodgers relaxing. He said, I guess he got up and said, don't panic. Like, that was his message. Don't panic. So I guess he was trying to say, I have faith. I'm a little bit on that side of it. Where it's like, guys, it's tough enough to find a starter. At least Landry Jones has been in the system 4 years. We'll see after this year because his contract will be up. But what are your thoughts on that, Sable?
He said, don't panic.
Yeah,
was he talking
he
about he didn't want the players around
the
him
players.
To panic? No, he should say it to himself, don't panic. Because that third and one play, that was a positive of panic. He throws the ball up. He was trying to throw it away. He didn't even throw it away. It was almost intercepted and everything. You know what I felt about Terrell Pryor? They should have taken a shot at him as your second or third quarterback, or as your, it would have been your third quarterback and as your fifth or sixth wide receiver. It's very hard getting a good backup and everything. Now, they tried to go veteran with Gronkowski, but he's got a glass jaw like Jerry Corey. then they – Landry Jones. Landry Jones, we're going to talk about his comfort zone. His comfort zone is to go back to college, I think. That would probably be everything. Last year they bring in Vic. We got Mettenberger as your third string now. Mettenberger is 0-10 as a starter. So Colbert and Tomlin are going to have to look at a quarterback, either signing. You know, they're not going to get a good free agent, so they're going to have to draft a quarterback at least in the second round this year because they're going to be in trouble. Because like Ben last year, what did he play, 11 games? Five. He's probably going to try to – Ben's probably going to try to come back after the bye and playing the – you know how he is. He's probably going to be the backup for the Baltimore Raven games. All depends how many – if they lose – what they're going to lose to New England and everything. So he's going to come back, at least take a shot at the Baltimore game and everything like that. But they're going to have to look for a quarterback. If you can get someone in the second round, they need a linebacker. You know, in the first round. So in the second round, you're looking for it's going to have to be a quarterback. What do you think, Matt?
I don't know. I'm split. I don't want them to spend a high draft pick on the quarterback because I never want to admit to myself that Ben, you know, there's ever going to be a quarterback besides Ben or anything like that, and I don't want to, you know, be like Tomlin, you know, don't live in the fears. Ben's going to play every game, but then also harp on them for not having, you know, someone behind them. So we'll see what they do. We'll see what happens next year. That's a ways away. A little more on Landry Jones, though, as far as, you know, what the game plan is going to be going into the Patriots. Tomlin did say that the Steelers are going to operate in Landry Jones' comfort zone. And not to jump all over that and everything, but do we, I mean, as avid diehard Steelers fans that, you know, all of us are, do we really have any idea what Landry Jones' comfort zone is? I mean, what he's best at, what he's most comfortable doing? I really, really don't because it doesn't seem like there's that thing that he's great at, that he's comfortable at. He's just all over the place. I know, Fred, you watch more than more tape than, you know, any of us. Any idea on what we can expect? Obviously, we're going to blaze on Bell-heavy offense, but any idea on what we can expect from Landry Jones, what kind of throws he's going to be asked to do? Is this going to be, you know, a Dennis Dixon kind of game where just, you know, screens and quick passes, or what are we going to see here, man?
Well, your guess is as good as mine on that, as Sable alluded to. Where Jones' comfort zone is, Sable thinks it might be back in college. But if we look at the few real live game experience that he had last year, he came in the Arizona game when Vic was just awful, and then he started against the Chiefs. Two games, he threw three touchdown passes to Martavis Bryant. So I would say his comfort zone is out for a year
for smoking weed. That's where Landon Jones' comfort zone is right now. He's throwing to Mark Davis, and it's not there. As far as what they're going to do, I mean, Tomlin, Haley talking today said, you know, they're not really going to change their offense, but, you know, he said he'll have input the way Ben does during the week. He's the starter. He'll have input into, and which I think is good. You want the quarterback to tell you what plays you feel comfortable running, which he feels most. I don't know. Landry Jones, I saw an interview with him. He was very calm in the interview. He was relaxed. He looked like he, I don't know if that tells you if he just doesn't have a pulse or if he's relaxed and comfortable and confident. But he said, whatever this means, here, this is like a Tomlinism. I'll tell him this. They're taking after their coach because Landry Jones said, what did he say? I have to be cautiously aggressive. I don't know what that means. You know, that sounds like either Tomlin saying it or one of the people on the debate last night saying it, because I don't know what that means. What do you think about that, Dave?
Cautiously aggressive. That's me like in high school asking a girl out, I guess. I don't know if you can you bring a clipboard onto the playing field?
No.
If you can bring a clipboard onto the playing field, then he might feel more comfortable and everything like that. I'd say they get the ball. They have to do something imaginative with him. I don't know if Haley's up to this right now and everything. You give the ball to Bell. Bell runs in the line, turns around, throws the ball back to Landry, and Landry throws deep to AB. Maybe they score, you know, try to go deep and some. Here's what Landry Jones has to do. He has to keep Antonio Brown satisfied. He's got to keep them hit him with screens, because the first time that AB is open and Landry Jones does not hit him, you know what the diva's going to do. He's going to throw his hands up, march off to the bench. He might even start yelling at Ben. I don't know. Ben's going to be on the sideline. You're going to have to keep AB. What I would do is I'd run, after we do that trick play, I'd run Bell. I'd run him three times, see what you can get. Use D'Angelo Williams. You're going to have to run the ball, because I really don't think this kid can pass. I don't know if he can pass. You said he hit Brian a couple of times deep and everything. Well, he doesn't have Brian. Coates will go deep and everything. With Coates going deep, you've got a 50-50 chance of him catching the ball. You know, he's got a bad hand. He's got cod, broken fingers and everything like this. And you get Darius Haywood-Bey out there. That's even less than a 50-50 if you try to throw deep to him and everything. Wheaton, I'd run the ball first, put a package in like you are going to run the ball. Antonio's got to be out there. Bell's going to be out there. Let's see who's going to be. The tight end's going to be Johnson. He's your best blocking tight end. Darius Haywood-Bey is your best blocking wide receiver. Put him out there, and Nick's at fullback. So make it look like you're going to pound the ball in there. Then he flips it, gives it to Bell. Bell goes in the line, see what he can get. If he gets stuffed, turn around, throw it back to Landry and try to hit Brown. Try to do something. Here's what it comes down to. We got Landry Jones against Belichick. You know, you got the genius against the guy that – it's the first time probably he spoke up in the locker room and everything and tried to take some of the – you know, tried to say something funny to take the edge off the team and everything. But why they had him passing on 3rd-and-1 and he threw that duck and everything like that, he has to be better than that. I'm sorry. If I'm in there – you know how old I am. 3rd-and-1, I'm going to do something to get that first down. I'm not going to just throw it, you know, and Ben would never just throw it up there just to lose a plate. I would either try to run it if he's back there and doesn't see. He didn't see his first option. I don't know if it's second and third. I think he was up to the third option, and he just wheeled it away and everything. I would have taken off. I don't think he can run, but at least do something. Don't just throw the ball away on third and one. That's my take. What do you think, Matt?
Well, man, there's just so much to consider. And for those of you that want, you know, a spoon of optimism going into this game, the one thing there is about Landry Jones, you know, starting this game is it's got to be hard, you know, preparing for a quarterback that there's just not a lot of real game tape on. I mean, you see it all the time when backups come in, whether it's halfway through a game or make their first start, you know, a random Johnny Manziel win or Jacoby Brissett or Ryan Mallett or these guys that just aren't good quarterbacks, and they come in and they have a good game because the defense just doesn't have film on them to prepare. So there is that part of it. If you want some optimism, there's that. They're also at home. This defense, you know, that really played an awful game that opener last year they still played them all right, even with all the miscommunications. That defense didn't look as bad against the Patriots as they did against some other teams. So there's reasons to be optimistic. I'm not saying there's optimism in this game or that I'm optimistic, just that there are some things to be optimistic about. There's also Ryan Shazier practiced fully today. He could potentially, be back, which is crazy important when you're playing against the Patriots with those two tight ends. You need Shazier and Davis. I'm not saying you match them up all game long or anything, but those guys are keys. You draft Davis, and you know in the I think it was Butler in you know the post draft conference, Butler saying you know this is the guy we got so we can cover you know tight ends like Gronk. All right, here's Gronk. Go do what you were drafted to do. This is, and same with Shazier. So this having them both in there is very, very important. So I'm not picking them, and it is time to get to the picks for this game. I'm picking the Patriots just you know because pure logic would point it that way. I will of course be rooting for the Steelers hard. I don't think there's any doubt that you know the first three plays are going to be run, and dump off or run, draw. I think if you're Tomlin, you want to get recognized as a great coach, go out there and win with your backup quarterback against an elite team. I know Tomlin doesn't have that in his head or anything, but if the Steelers do this, if the Steelers somehow pull this out, forget that Dolphins game, forget everything, that was another fluke. If you win this game with your backup quarterback, you can forget you are going to hear the Steelers all over for the next week, and not because of a massive drop in a game or, you know, bad injuries. You're going to hear them because they are going to be talked about as Super Bowl contenders. With all that said, though, not to be a massive downer, I don't see it happening. Go ahead, Fred. What's your pick, man? And let's get to these other games.
Yeah, if I got to go with my head, as much as I'd like to pick the Steelers, you know, I had to pick a score. I picked the Patriots, and I saw it like 27-13. I just find it hard for the Steelers to score with Landry Jones, and the Patriots are good. They execute well. Belichick knows what he's doing. He'll take out your best weapon and make you beat you with something else, you know. So to me, he's going to take out Bell. If I was him, that's what I'd do. Stop Bell and make Landry Jones beat me throwing the ball. So that's what I got. What about you, Sable?
They're probably not going to play as bad as they played in Miami.
No.
So I'm going to pick the Patriots. And Brady beat us the last time. Do you remember the score? 55-31. Was that was with Ben?
Yeah.
So now we don't have Ben. The worst game in history, the most lopsided, are we ready for this? 73-0. I think it was the Chicago Bears. I wasn't born yet and everything.
You were?
I'm a toss up with, this had to be in the 40s. I'm tossing up between them scoring 74 to nothing to break the record, or around 55 to 31. But I can't see them. I can't see the Steelers scoring 31 points. And they're worse with Landry Jones. If it's a low scoring game, that's what I'm hoping. Maybe we can eke out a 14-10. I just want them to play good, stay into the game into the fourth quarter, give them a shot to maybe pull the game out. So I'm going with 21. Let's see, he's going to have to score a touchdown. 21-14, New England. And they have a chance at the end. Landry's got to bring him down for a touchdown to tie the game up. So Tomlin goes for – no.
Tomlin goes for two.
No, 21-14, and they have a chance with 2 minutes to go. Landry has to drive him down for a touchdown, not a field goal touchdown. So that's where I'm going, 21-14 then. I'm not going to 74.
Interesting. All right. I'm taking the Pats too. It's I know all of us were looking forward to this week, and we're not going to get the game we wanted. Hopefully, we will at some point. You know, maybe in the playoffs, get a little AFC Championship game at home in Heinz Field with Ben. That's what we're all hoping we get. But man, for this game, the Steelers would have to do a complete identity change. It's not a bend, don't break defense, because as long as we keep them to 16 points, our offense is going to put up 30. This has to be a stingy, stingy defense. They can't bend. If they bend, they're going to break. We have to fight for every single yard. You cannot be okay with them scoring three field goals, four field goals, because that could win the game. His offense with Landry Jones. So we'll see what happens. Absolutely.
Let me ask a question. If Ben was starting Sunday, what would you say then? Matt?
You mean who would I pick?
Yeah.
If Ben was starting, and we're saying he's healthy, they still lost to the Dolphins, but he played that game healthy. I'd pick the Patriots still. I do not like the Patriots, but there's no doubt they're an elite team. I mean, they've had a bye in the playoffs for the past six seasons, something like that. Whatever the record is, they've shattered it. This is a good team, and I'm worried about the Steelers team, because the Broncos, the Patriots, the elite teams who are going to possibly represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, they don't drop games like to the Dolphins like this. They don't drop games horribly to the Eagles. It just doesn't happen. So I was saying it a little bit last week. I still don't know who the Steelers team is. I thought after they won against the Bengals that, okay, this is an elite team. You beat that rival. You beat them bad. That was our test game. And then we blew it against the Eagles. And then we come back, we wiped that out of our mouth, we slaughtered the Chiefs, we slaughtered the Jets, and then you got this Dolphins game. So I'm looking at, we have not beaten a high-quality team, and I know y'all are tired of hearing me saying, and Fred disagrees with me.
I think my wife's
There's a chance that this Steelers team just is not an elite team, even with Ben, because we have not played and beaten an elite opponent this year, not someone who was good last year, but someone who was good this year. We have not played and beaten them. It was going to be the Patriots game for sure, where we found out who this team is. But without Ben, I don't know if we're going to get that game. So all three of us picking the Patriots. Got to move on.
My buddy, he didn't give me what would we think if Ben was playing.
Oh, right. Oh, quickly. Believe it or not, I'd go with the Steelers. Ben,
especially after the way he put in Miami. At home, Ben is a different quarterback. You look at his stats.
You know
he wants to beat the Patriots, and you know they think with his weapons, with Bell and Brown, he has a chance this year where they didn't have last year. I think it'd be tough and it'd be close, but with some come to shovel, Ben, I would have picked them.
I think we know who the Steelers are. The Steelers are a good home team and a bad road team. I think after so many games, that's about the only way I can go.
Yeah,
okay,
that
back
is
to you.
Why, that, because they're a good home team and a bad road team, that is why they have to get Ben back and get some wins, because if this team is another wild card game, a wild card team, they are not going to win three games against high-quality opponents on the road. It's just not going to happen. They're not winning against low-quality opponents on the road. So you have got to get it together and get a bye, a one or a two seed up. If you can get that home field advantage, then you've got a real shot at the Super Bowl. But if you've got to go into Foxborough or into Denver and play up there, it's just completely different, as the Cardinals found out last year when they were playing the Panthers on a roll and then just losing it in an away game. But all right, gotta get to these games, as we always spend a lot of time on the Steelers, as we should, but can't scramble too much on these last ones. Division game to start out with, Cleveland versus Cincinnati. Cleveland looking for their first win as we approach the halfway point in the season. Bengals looking to get a win and get some momentum going, as both these teams are just floundering. They're both on some losing streaks here. You have to think that Cincinnati just is the better team. But we've seen Cleveland pull out some wins with Hugh Jackson going back to Cincinnati. He knows that team very well. I got to take the Bengals. I'm rooting against them, of course, to keep that record down and, you know, keep them out of this thing. But I'm taking the Bengals. What about you, Fred?
Yeah, I'll keep it short and sweet. I thought Cleveland's best chance to win this year was last week, and they almost came back and pulled it out versus the Titans. The Bengals aren't as good. Their record's bad, but if you look at who they played, they had a brutal start to the season schedule-wise. At the Jets, the Jets were actually decent first game here. At Pittsburgh, at us, then they had to host the Broncos, the world champs. Then they had an easy one with the Dolphins, and then they had to go play somebody else. And then they had to go play at the Patriots. They just had a tough. It's going to ease up. They're playing Cleveland. I know who Jackson knows them. They might be getting Eifert back. They're not going to lose a home to Cleveland. They're not as good as they were last year, but they're definitely better than Cleveland. So I got Cincinnati, a relatively easy one, 24-13 type score. What about you, Sable?
The Browns are the third best team in Ohio, so I'm going to go with the Bengals winning. So I'm picking the Bengals.
All right, Bengals all around. Never like picking them, but we got to, just when it makes sense. Sticking in the division, Baltimore versus the Jets. As we said earlier, potentially two quarterbacks making the first start of the season. We'll see if that happens for the Ravens, though. Joe Flacco hasn't practiced yet this week. Harbaugh said that Flacco has a legitimate chance to play against the Jets on Sunday. Flacco told reporters that he's dealing with soreness in his shoulder, but he also reiterated that it's just nothing to worry about. So we'll see what happens. You've got to be hoping that he doesn't play and give the Jets a chance as they trot out Geno Smith for the first time making the start this season. Is this going to be a close game, Fred, or is one team much better than the other one? I really don't know, because after the Jets got ran all over by David Johnson, you got to think that's, you know, the Baltimore Ravens are going to be doing the same thing with Terrence West, who has looked pretty nice. So while I decide who I'm picking, I'm going to toss this to you guys. Who you got, Fred?
Yeah, price of time. Nah, I don't think that one team is that much better than the other, and I think this game really – Baltimore does have, so far in here, they have a pretty decent defense. they're still trying to find their offense. Last week they resorted at the end of the game to their old, let's just heave the ball up and hope for a PI, which they got, by the way, against the Giants. I was pissed at that one. No way they should have called that one, but that's the old Flacco way, just heave it up there. So they still have that. I think it might come down to which quarterback, even if Flacco plays, he's not that good, which quarterback stinks less. And if it was in Baltimore, I'd pick them easily. I'm still going to pick them. I will say when I saw Baltimore versus the Jets, and I the only thing I could think of is I don't think we have the same two quarterbacks as Joe Willie and Johnny U. When the Jets played
Maddie.
And Tom Maddie. And I don't think that the New York Jet quarterback is going to be making any guarantees. I don't even think he guaranteed that you won't get punched in the mouth. And it would be very interesting to see Ryan Mallett. Even if Flacco doesn't practice tomorrow, I'd still put money down that he's going to play. He said, yeah, it's really nothing. You never know, honestly, but I'd say Flacco is going to play. The Jets are just awful. They don't have weapons. They lost Decker for the year. They're down on some guys. Fitzpatrick shows what he is. He's average at best and throws picks. I'm gonna, as much as I hate to say it, if I'm figuring out I'm gonna pick Baltimore just because their defense has played better. The Jets, they couldn't stop the air attack most of the year, and then against the Cardinals, they couldn't stop anybody on the ground. So they're no good on any side of the ball. So I'm going, as much as I hate it, with the Baltimore Colts. I mean, Raven. what do you say, Sable?
Baltimore is the second-best team in Maryland. They lost three games in a row. They have eight players that were limited, injured. I'm going to go with Baltimore. Okay.
You set us up, man. you got to convince me. I'm taking the Ravens. It's even if Flacco doesn't play, I mean, we all know that Mallett can win games, as we found out last year. I just don't know about Todd Bowles right now. I don't. He might be one of those guys who was a great coordinator, but not a great coach. He's been making some bad calls. His team just isn't waking up without Eric Decker in there, with a banged up Forte, and with Geno Smith. I don't see it happening. The Ravens aren't a very good team, but they've been in some games. I mean, that came down to the wire against the Redskins, against the Raiders, two teams that I think are better than the Jets. So, taking the Ravens in this one. All right, we got time for a couple more. Fred, anyone that you really want to get to?
I think one of the it would be one of the top games there, but it's Seattle versus Arizona. I know
sure.
Arizona started off, I think when they won, I think they're back up to 3-3, so they're climbing their way back. They're a little down, but they got an Ed David Johnson. I know some they're talking about, some people don't know about him. He's close to Le'Veon Bell. He can cut close to Le'Veon Bell. He has more power. He can catch the ball out of the backfield almost as good. He's fantastic. So Arizona might be rounding maybe back to a little bit toward where they were last year. In Seattle, it's surprising me at how well they're doing on offense with that horrible offensive line. And Russell Wilson, all the injuries, it doesn't seem to matter. Their defense is just as good as last year. Richard Sherman, I think he has a special power. He's immune to pass interference calls. So you're not going to get one if you throw it in his direction. They didn't get it at the end of the game. This one's tough because I think we're still both figuring out what Arizona is. And it's in Arizona. They beat Seattle in Arizona last year. But I don't know, something Pete Carroll, he stepped in something magic because he stunk when he was a coach of the Jets and the Patriots, but I'm going to go with Seattle. What about you, Sable?
I'm going to go with Seattle, too. But if Richard Sherman picks up Larry Fitzgerald, that's That's going to be a heck of a matchup. I don't think they will. Just like you said, this David Johnson is very good. I think he's, just like you said, the second-best running back. I think last week he had 3 TDs, and one was very, very long run and everything. So I'm going to go with Seattle on that. Do you want to do any other games, or are we going to go to you, Hurricane?
I'll give my pick. I'm going to pick the Cardinals. I think if they're going to turn around, which I believe they will, they've got to string some wins together. This is a division opponent, so you can really forget about records and everything like that. These teams know each other. I think like you guys were saying, David Johnson is just, he is a good player. He's a great player. Second best running back in the league, behind Bell. One of the best. I mean, you can make an argument that he is as good as Bell, as a receiving threat out of the backfield. So I'm picking the Cardinals in this one. We really are running out of time. We should cut it, but you know what? We like football. We like talking about football. We're going to do one more because why not? Go ahead, Sabo. What game you want to do, man?
Vikings and Philadelphia.
Take it away, bud. Go ahead, man.
Hey, Bradford's going to be playing first time versus the Eagles. I think that good wide receiver Diggs is going to be back. I'm trying to think, why would I take Philadelphia? they're at home. Okay, I'm going with the Vikings because it's my reunion this week. My high school team's the Central Vikings, so I'm going to go with the Vikings over Philadelphia.
I like it. Vikings, to me, are one of those teams like, you know, the Patriots who – I'm gonna pick them until, you know, I'm given a reason not to. And the Eagles, they're a good team. We found that out, you know, in person. They've beaten some good opponents. They've also lost some games. But this Vikings defense is elite. It is the best in the league. The Broncos have a good defense, but they are not on par with this Vikings defense. I know that's saying a lot, but man, you just watch these games. They shut everyone down. I'm taking the Vikings. Carson Wentz is going to get a rude awakening, I think, against a very, very mean and aggressive Vikings defense. That's Danielle Hunter in there. He's looking like a beast. So give me the Vikings. Take it, Fred.
Yeah, I knew when you went to Sable, I knew what game he was going to pick. And I said, he's going to pick this game because I got to talk about it. And Christina is going to kill me. She went and ordered a Carson Wentz jersey. That's her guy. But I'm kind of with both of you that you know, until they give me a reason to not pick them. And Philadelphia has a good defense. But the Redskins were able to score on them last week. And I'm going to go with a team, kind of like last year, like last year's Broncos, a team that has the better defense. And Bradford's shown that he can get it done. He's made some good plays. So just the fact that Wentz, I like him, but he's going to be challenged this week. Like you said, rude awakening, yeah. This is not North Dakota State, Carson. These Vikings guys will rip your head off. So, yeah, I'm sorry, Christine. I got to go with the Vikings. Okay.
Ooh. Way to get that out fast. All right. As much as I would like to really take this down to the wire and have it cut us off, let's go ahead and end it here. As we will pick this back up next week, probably we're always on either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, depending on, you know, our schedules. Three busy people.
Remember, I'm going to do it next week. You'll probably be clapping because that's my reunion Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
That's right. So it'll most likely just be me and Fred next week. All the more reason to get some callers in. But, all right, guys, any last thoughts before we send this one out?
Yeah, I'll just end with this. I just saw this tonight because the Thursday night game, you would never guess who has the record for four straight 300-yard passing games for the Chicago Bears. Any guesses? Real quick, Ryan Hoyer has the Bears record.
Whoa.
He's out right now, too. Barkley just came in.
Barkley
came in.
Steelers. Brian Hoyer, when he was here, they should never gave up on him. He would have been a great backup for them.
Agreed. Agreed completely. All right, guys, going to send it out. Go ahead.
everyone root for the Steelers this week, playing against the Patriots. Keep that optimism going. If they lose, heads up, we'll see what happens. So for Matt, Sabo, Fred, we'll see y'all next week. Here's a little Steelers polka as we sign out. We'll optimism here. Just because we can, we have 4 minutes to go. See you next week, guys. Just Carl and all his friends are all